John, the Gospel of John, the first chapter. First chapter, Gospel of John. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to start reading at verse number 43. 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth unto Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and said unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, Come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold the Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let us pray. Father, again thanking you for your wonderful word, the Bible, the Word of God. And I thank you so much today, Father, for just the privilege of reading it. And Father, I'm very grateful for the opportunity that we have at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to teach it in our Sunday schools, classes, and also in our children's churches. Lord, thank you for the services here that we can preach the Bible, the Word of God. And Lord, we certainly ask that you be honored in all things. I just pray today, Lord, that we'll take this opportunity to lift you up and honor you. Let all people know who you are and how great you are and how much, Lord, you love us. And so, Father, once again, we depend upon you. We ask you for your power, your wisdom, and ask you, Lord, to do the will of God in each of our lives. For we'll thank and praise you. In the loving name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I think the Gospels are so wonderful because of the sayings of Jesus Christ in the Gospels. I think it's a marvelous thing whenever I read in the Bible, I listen when Jesus makes a statement, I listen to that very carefully. Now, all the Bible is God's Word, but I'm just saying to you, it's wonderful that some of the statements that he makes are just absolutely wonderful statements and tells us so much. And I want to just kind of go over a few of them before we get into the main message. But I'm going to preach a message which I've entitled, Things Jesus Wants Us to See. Things Jesus Wants Us to See. Now, first of all, over in verse number 42, he said, And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. That shall be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. First of all, I want you to know that he immediately told Simon here who he was. He changed his name to Cephas. He was just going to be a stone, but he knew exactly who he was. And I want you to know this morning that Jesus knows exactly who you are. You remember in Nathanael, talking about Nathanael in the scripture? He's seen him sitting over underneath a fig tree. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly who you are. And knows every single thing about you and me. It's a marvelous thing. God Almighty is so great and so wonderful. He knows every individual. He knows everyone that's sitting under a tree fishing this morning. He knows what tree they're sitting under. He knows who is at home sitting with their feet up reading the Sunday paper, as I was back in early 1966 when my little daughter says, why don't we go to church like other folk? It's exactly where I was at, sitting in a overstuffed chair, they used to call them. I guess it's overstuffed because of the guy sitting in it. I don't know. Overstuffed chair, sitting there, feet up on a hassock, reading the paper. Jesus knew I was there. I just want you to know he knows all about you. He knows absolutely everything about you and me. He knows where we're at this morning. Knows us inside and out. He told him, oh, you're Jonah's son. He knows my ancestry. He knows my daddy's name was Walter and my mother's name was Lena. He knows that. He knew that before I knew him. So I just want you to know this morning, Jesus knows all about us. Amen. He knows also that, like Cephas, I needed my name changed. And I'm just basically saying there I needed to become a Christian. I needed to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Over in verse 38, you'll notice that he questions. Over in verse 38, he said, then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted Master, where dwellest thou? Jesus understood that someone was seeking him, and he knew exactly why they were seeking him. He asked them the question, but he knew why they were seeking him. You see, a person who comes seeking Jesus Christ, he knows whether they're coming seeking him for salvation or just finding information. We need to come to him and seek him, certainly, for salvation. But he knew. Down in verse number 48, if you'll notice, Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. I want you to notice also that Jesus is the answerer of our questions. You see, there is not a question that you have that Jesus cannot answer. We may not like the answer he gives, but he will answer, and he has the answer. Amen. So I'm saying to you, even today, folks, Jesus has the answer for all of your questions. It doesn't make any difference what they are. He's got the answer for them. Not only that, in verse number 39, you'll notice he said unto them, come and see. They came and saw, and because they questioned it, had been asked, where dwellest thou? They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. If you notice, anybody who comes seek him, he said, come on and dwell with me. He's willing to receive you. He's willing to accept you. Amen. He's willing for you to dwell with him. And anybody that's ever found Jesus don't really want to dwell anywhere else. There's nothing like dwelling with Jesus Christ. I think of that practically every day. I think about the wonderful thing it's going to be in heaven with him personally. I mean, I have him in me today, as you do, if you're a Christian, and that's a wonderful thing. But I think about being in the very presence of God Almighty. I'm going to dwell with him forever because I put my faith and trust in him for salvation. I'm going to dwell with him. I'm going to be there forever. I can't think of anything greater than that myself. Not only that, if you notice in verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth unto Galilee and findeth Philip and say to him, follow me. I want you to know, anybody looking for something to do, he's got an answer for that too. He said, just follow me. See, the greatest thing that anybody can do is follow Jesus Christ. It's the greatest thing. It's the first thing he told them. He said, just follow me. And I say to you that that's what he wants for you to do. His invitation is to come unto him, to believe upon him, and then follow him. Amen. He wants you to come to him in salvation. He wants you to put your faith and trust, believe upon him, and then he expects you to follow him. Amen. Not only that, if you'll notice, in verse number 47 it says, and Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. I want you to notice also he knew everything about Nathanael. He even mentioned the fact there was no guile in Nathanael. He took note of Nathanael's character. I want you to notice today that he'll take note of you and my character. He knows whether there's guile in us or not, but he took notice of that. He had just seen coming. He knew him. And he said, there's no guile in him. Amen? Made note of it. I say to you, it's important what kind of character we have. Not what we are, character we are, but character we have. Amen? May go together, but he's interested in our character. Amen? So in verse number 50, he says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. You notice Jesus said to him, you're going to see greater things than these that you've just witnessed. You're going to see greater. I want you to know something. You can expect the greatest from Jesus Christ. You can expect greater than you'll ever even imagine in your heart and mind. You'll expect greater things from him. He'll do greater things for you. I want you to notice that word see. Thou shalt see greater things than these. Verse 51, he says, and he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I'm going to preach a message on the subject of what Jesus wants us to see. Jesus gives us the ability to see things. And he wants us to see some certain things. I'm just going to give you some basic things today that I believe that Jesus Christ wants you to see, wants me to see. The first one is, he wants us to see that we are sinners. He wants us to see that there's a law of sin working in us, as the book of Romans said, the 7th chapter. There's the law of sin that dwells and works in every single individual. We must understand that. We must understand that we're all sinners and come short of the glory of God. And that every individual in here is a sinner. You're a saved sinner or a lost sinner, but you're a sinner. Now, you've been washed in the blood of Jesus. God's washed you clean. It's wonderful. It's a blessed thing. But there's still a law of sin that dwells in you and works within you and me. And we have to let the Spirit of God overcome that old law of the flesh. And God wants us to understand that. See, what he's wanting us to see is that you can't overcome this in your own strength. But you need God. You need Christ. You need him to wash your sins away, and you need him to help you live daily a righteous and a holy and a proper life. And he wants you to see that. So many folk today just feel like, you know, they can just do whatever they want now that they're God's child, and it doesn't make any difference. It does make a difference. Absolutely makes a difference. We are to live holy lives after we get saved. That's what God expects of us. You're not doing that to get saved. You're doing that because you are saved. Amen. So he wants us to see this law of sin which is in our members. He wants you to understand it's there. And he wants us also to understand that Jesus Christ is the answer for it. He also wants us to look unto him for salvation. He said over in the book of Isaiah, look unto me and ye shall be saved. Look unto me, he says. We need to understand that Jesus Christ is the only one we can look to for salvation. Now, I know that's basic. I know that's just, you know, basic principles. But you need to understand something. There isn't any other salvation anywhere except through Jesus Christ. He says, look unto me, he says, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none other. There is none other you can look to except Jesus Christ. This morning here, maybe you like I was when I was a little bit younger, and I used to think that I was a pretty good boy, I'm a pretty good guy, and you think, well, God's going to take me to heaven because I'm doing pretty good. I don't go out and I don't beat up on my brother or my sister, or I don't do this or that, and I don't steal anything. I'm going to go. You don't go to heaven because of that. You go to heaven because you've looked unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And you need to understand, you need to see that. You need to understand there isn't any other way of salvation except through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, listen to me, because I feel like God wants me to make this plain. You say, I believe in Jesus. I believe there's a God. Have you ever come to the Lord and just repented and say, oh God, I'm an old sinner just like you say I am. I'm a sinner. That's what the Bible says. I'm an old sinner, and I need to be saved. I need to be washed in the blood. I want to put my faith and trust in you. That's not a matter of just being religious. You understand me? It's not a matter of you just attending church once in a while. That's not where you get saved. You get saved by putting your faith, your trust in Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God convicts you of your sin. You see yourself as a sinner as God sees you. You say, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to do right. And you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, calling upon His name, trusting Him and Him alone for salvation. Amen. God wants you to see that. He wants you to, first of all, see that you're a sinner. He secondly wants you to see that Jesus is the only way of salvation. He's the only way. Mom and daddy can't get you to heaven. Brother and sister can't get you to heaven. Sunday school teacher, preacher can't get you to heaven. All we can do is point you to the one who can. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. So you need to understand it. There needs to be a time in your life when you're born into God's family. A time when you've truly seen yourself as a sinner and you want Christ to save you. You see, amen? So there has to be that. God wants you to see that. God also wants you to see something else. He wants you to see that He's the one that you need to look up to every single morning, or whether it's morning, day, noon, whatever it might be, but you need to look up to Him in prayer. You need to call upon Him. Here's what He says in the morning over in Psalms, the 5th chapter, 3rd verse. Here's what He said. He says, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. He wants you to see and realize there's only one you can look up to and expect to answer your prayers, and that's the wonderful, mighty God. He's wonderful, and He wants to hear your prayers, and you need to look up to Him. I said it early in the morning, because when you first get up, you need to get in contact with God. Now, you can do that anytime throughout the day. You can pray to God anytime. But you need to look up to God. The psalmist said, I'll look up to you in early in the morning. I'll look up. You need to realize that He's the only one who can answer your prayers that day. And He is the only one. Amen. Your friends may be good to you, and they may treat you all right, and may help you. But I want to tell you, God's the only one who can answer those prayers. He's the only one who can send friends to you to be a friend to you. It's God that doesn't. And we need to look up to Him. God wants you to see that the only answer for you and for me in the matters of life is to look up to Him and put our trust and faith in Him, not only for salvation, but for everything in our life. We need to look up to Him. Amen. Not only that, He wants us to look also for a place to serve. The Bible says, look on the fields, for they are white unto harvest. Now, folks, anybody that's a Christian has any understanding whatsoever of the fact that a person's lost without Christ, all he has to do is look around and see a white field. It's white everywhere. Harvest is out there ready to be harvested, ready the message is ready to be given, and let God do the harvesting. But He's expecting you and I to look out there and see it. There's multitudes of people out there that need us, need God's people. There's needs out there, and we need to see those needs. I preach this all the time. You know I do, but I suppose I'll do it till I die. But folks, you know it's your responsibility to witness to your neighbors. Did you know it's your responsibility to be witness to those people who you meet? I mean, do you understand that? God wants you to look out over and see the harvest. See it out there. Get a look at it and see it. It's out there. They're lost. London, England is lost. I don't know whether you know that or not. Missionary coming tonight, folks. London, England is a mess. England is absolutely a spiritual mess. It's one of the hardest places to build a church at, whether you understand it or not. We need a vision that there's people out there lost, but folks, not just in London, England, in Jasonville, in Linton, in Comont, in Hymera, Vicksburg, all around, Sullivan and Shelburne. Amen. They're lost, and we need to have a vision. God wants you to see it personally. Look out upon the fields and see that the harvest is white. Amen. It's ready to be reaped. And the only way we can reap it is through the gospel, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost world. Amen. Some say, God wants you to see that. God wants to see that you're a sinner. God wants you to understand and see that Jesus is the only way of salvation. He wants you to understand for the needs of your life, you need to look up to Him and trust Him. Believe in Him and trust Him for everything you need in your life. But He also wants you to understand that there's a service out there to be done. Listen to me. I want you to listen to this preach a minute. And people come through here and preachers will come through here. And they'll say, well, just go see Brother Ross. He'll give you something to do. I hate it when they do that. I really do. There is things I can give you to do within the church, but I want to tell you the greatest thing you can do is go out and win some souls. Amen. You go do that, and then you'll be qualified to do something in the church. Amen. Amen. I want to use everybody we can use, but folks, you know as well as I do, I can't. Somebody's got to sit in a Sunday school class. You can't use everybody during Sunday school hour, or it's just cancel Sunday school hour. What I'm simply saying to you, I want to use everybody. I do. I want to use anybody, everybody. But you know the greatest thing you can be used for is go win some souls. Win somebody to Christ. Get somebody to church. You want to do something for this preacher this week? Go out this week and bring somebody this week to church. Boy, that's the greatest thing you could do. I want to tell you, that's more important than working as a helper in a Sunday school class. Now, that's important. But you go out and get somebody to church. And you know what I usually find? Here's what they don't want to do that. No, I mean something else. I mean, can I play the piano, or can I do this, or can I do that? No, go out and get somebody. Bring them in. The harvest is white unto harvest. The field is white unto harvest. Amen? Get somebody. Bring them in. So God wants you to see that there's a harvest out there ripe. It's ripe. Amen? Not only that, He wants us to look around and see how good God is. You know, the Bible says, when I consider thy heavens, I look and I say, what is man? What is man? You know, I want to tell you something. I go out and look at the heavens. I go out at night. The Bible talks about it. I go out at night sometimes, just look up. I sit there and I say, my goodness, you're amazing. You're amazing. You're above anything I can even imagine. Look at this. Brother Brewer, when I lead somebody to Christ, honestly, there's never a time, especially in the last few years, I lead anybody to Christ, I get either in the back of my car or wherever it is, and I say, God, you are absolutely amazing. To watch you work and to see what you do is absolutely amazing. I've seen God put so many things together just to get this preacher in a place to witness to somebody and they get saved. It isn't me. It's just God using me. And it's amazing. I go back and I say, look what you put together. You put all that together. I mean, I could tell you stories. I mean, I think I told you about Frank Lee. I went over to Frank Lee's, and I didn't even know he was in the hospital. I walked into the hospital, and there his wife sat over there in the waiting room. I went to see somebody else. And she said, I said, what are you doing here? And she said, Frank's in here, and that's why you come, isn't it? And she started telling me about Frank. She said, I want you to go and see him. I want you to go and see him. I did not know. They had not contacted me. I did not know Frank Lee was in the hospital. God sent me in there to see somebody else. I went in and within a few moments led Frank Lee to the Lord. He was so ready. He was close to death, or what they thought he was. And he was so ready to get saved. He just cried out for salvation. Now what I'm saying is, who done that? Our God did that. I didn't even know what I was doing. I'm just walking around, you know, trying to go wherever He wanted me to go. That's the way God does it. That's what I'm saying. We ought to just be amazed at the goodness of God. You look up of a night and see the heavens and just be amazed at God. You do that and you won't have so much trouble with being amazed with people. Instead of being amazed with God, people cause you trouble. You know that. Most time you worry about that. You fret over that. Why don't you just get your mind on God, how good He is? He is good, isn't He? He's amazing. He's wonderful. Just look around. See what he's done, how great he is, and all the things that he's doing. And God wants us to see that. Just imagine and think about how good God is, you see. Not only that, he takes us to the Lord's Supper for us to remember and see some things. When you come to the Lord's Supper, which we have probably next Sunday, we'll have that next Sunday, Lord willing, first Sunday in the month. He brings you to the Lord's Supper to see some things. He wants you to remember, and once again, the goodness of God, and that he deserves the praise for what he's done. He wants you to remember that he's coming again. Do this in remembrance of me. Show forth his death until he come. He's wanting you to see some things. He wants you also in that to see that there's sin in your life and you need to get it corrected. If there's sin there, it needs to be corrected. Lord's Supper is a wonderful time for that. He wants you to see something. He wants you to remember some things. And in the Lord's Supper especially, he wants you to remember he died for you. His broken body. His shed blood. And he wants you to never forget what Jesus Christ did for you and me. And he wants you to remember that. Did he die for you? Was his body broken on the cross for you? Did he do that? Don't forget it. See it. Remember it. Think about it every day of what Jesus has done for you and I. Amen? And just don't forget it. Remember the goodness of God. He's good no matter what. I've told you before, the Bible says God is good. That's a blanket statement. He's never bad. Never. No matter what anything happens, he's not bad. He's good. Always good. God is. And we need to remember that and never forget it. So when you come to the Lord's Supper, don't just do that as something to put in your mouth and chew up, but don't do that just as something to pick up and drink. Think about it. Think about it. He died for you. Amen? He wants you to see those things and remember those things. And not only that, he wants you to look for his coming. I want you to go with me over to the book of Philippians, the third chapter of the book of Philippians. Third chapter, verse number 20. It says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." The Word of God teaches us that he wants us to look for the Savior. We need to keep an eye out and look for the Savior. Whenever I read prophetic things and read in the Scripture about prophetic things, or read the book of Revelation, I think about he's coming soon. It points to me that Jesus Christ is coming very soon. Our hearts ought to be awash with the truth that Jesus Christ is coming back. It'll do something for you. I mean, it'll just help you from day to day to know that Jesus could come today. I've told you before, and I'm going to do some preaching. I won't say for sure when, but I'm going to do some preaching very soon on the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's one of those truths that we just oh-hum anymore, like you're doing right now, most of you. It's a truth that ought not to be oh-hummed. It's a truth that ought to get you and I excited. The coming of Jesus Christ is a wonderful truth. I mean, that's what keeps us going. I know he's coming again. I get excited about the fact Jesus Christ is coming again. He wants you to see the fact that he's coming back again. He said, our conversation is in heaven, or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Where is he coming from? He's coming from heaven. And we look for him to come again. You see, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ returning and coming again is an incentive, and that's what it ought to do. It's an incentive to get you busy doing something. Amen. Throughout the Scripture, it's used for that purpose. Why do we need to be busy? Because he's coming again. He's coming back. And I say to you, you know, we need to get excited about service for the Lord. Why? He's coming again. And you know what we've done, really, honestly, as churches in America today, we've settled into the fact that, yeah, he's coming sometime. That's our philosophy. Yeah, I know he's coming sometime. But until he does, I've got tomorrow, and I've got to go to work tomorrow, and I've got to do this, and he's coming. We need to get excited about the fact that he's coming again. You see, and that'll do something for you. That'll do something to get you working for the Lord and serving him. That'll keep you going when you don't feel like it. Because he's coming again. Amen. That'll get you up out of bed of a morning and get you excited. Amen. That'll help you to do the extra things when you don't feel like doing the extra things. Folks, go through your Bible in the New Testament and where it talks about the coming of Jesus Christ and see what he dwells on. He dwells on the fact that we ought to separate ourselves from this world. He's coming again. We ought to do right. He's coming again. Because he's coming again, we ought to clean up our life. Why? Because he's coming again. And I'm saying to you folks, God wants you to see the importance of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll help you not live that old worldly life. It'll cause you to live for God. And when things go not right in your life, it'll cause you to just say, that's all right, I'm just going to love God anyway. I'm just going to walk with God. Don't make a difference. And I'm going to live a separated life. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what these liberal churches say. I'm going to live a separated life. You know why? Because Jesus is coming again. And he's the only one that really matters how we live. And he says, be ye holy as I am holy. Does he want us to live separated lives? Yeah. I tell you what, you get a hold of the coming of Jesus Christ, that he could come today. I mean right now. He could come right this moment. I'd do something for you. That'll cause you change. Amen. That'll cause you to do right. That'll get you busy. Amen. You remember in the Bible when he found that servant that wasn't busy at his coming? How grieved him? What do you think the difference is going to be when he comes and finds us not busy? You think that's going to grieve him? Sure it is. And above all, let me say this. Wouldn't it grieve the Savior if he come and you had the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you turned him down? He said, no, I don't want him. I have no desire for him. No, I'll put it off another day. Do you know that's grieving to the Savior? I'm saying that to you this morning. If you're here without Jesus Christ, you need to be saved. You need to see that God wants you saved. He loves you. He's done everything under the sun to prove that love to you. He can't do any more. And all he wants you to do is receive him as personal Savior. What a small thing. The way we do it here in our church, you can do it many different places, of course, but the way we do it here in this church is at the invitation, you're not saved. It's a great time to walk forward, and we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. We'll just take the same scripture, show you how to be saved, how to be born again, and you can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right here in this church. That's a great way to do it, because then you're proclaiming him before men. You're taking a stand for the Lord. You can get saved, yes. You can get saved somewhere else, but you still ought to let it be known in the church. Amen. So if you're here this morning without Jesus, you can get saved this morning. Now that's good news. That's good news. I'm giving you good news. You can get, and you ought to walk out of here this morning. If you're not saved, you ought to not walk out of here until you get saved. And then you could walk out of here knowing that you're ready for heaven. No matter what happens, you're ready for heaven. If I had doubt in my heart that I was saved or not, I'd get that right this morning. I'd get that corrected. I'd get that taken care of. Wouldn't walk out of here until I got that taken care of. Amen? Because you need to know you're saved. That you're born again. And then I'd just turn my life over to the Lord and say, Lord, you take me, do with me whatever you want me to do. Amen? And I'll just follow you. Amen? Bow your head. Close your eyes, please. Say, Brother Ross, I've heard the message preached this morning, and I understand that I am a sinner. According to the Bible, I'm a sinner. Without Christ, I'm lost. But I also understand that Jesus said, look unto me and be ye saved. And it may be that you've already looked unto him. You've already been saved. You know for sure if you died today that you'd go to heaven. You're sure of that. You're sure that you're born again. Would you just indicate that by raising your right hand? Just raise your hand up. Just keep it up, man. Say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Now, look, okay, you can take it down. Now you say, Brother Ross, I'm here this morning, and I couldn't raise my hand, or else I didn't raise my hand. And I do not know if I died today I'd go to heaven or not. I just do not know. I'm not sure. But I sure would like to get that taken care of. I know I need to be saved, and I want to be ready to meet the Lord. Would you just raise your hand, please? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand up. Say, I want to be ready to meet the Lord. God's dealt with me this morning. I want to be ready. I'm not sure I'm saved. Just raise your hand. Father, I want to thank you today for the goodness of God. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and how great and wonderful you are. And it's my prayer, Lord, that you was honored this morning. I know this messenger, Lord, is not the best orator in the world. But I know you're the great God. And you're everything. And I just wanted you to be lifted up this morning. I want people to love you as you deserve to be loved. If there's any here, Lord, they may not have raised their hand indicating, but if there's any here that's unsaved, I would pray that you'd convict them, the Holy Spirit of God would convict them, oh Lord, and just so that they'd understand that they was a sinner and they'd desire to be saved. I pray also, Father, for your children today, those who are born again. They know if they died, they go to heaven. I pray for them, Father. I don't know all the conditions of every heart here. But if they are saved, if they are your children, we know also they, your desire is that they keep your commandments, they follow you, they walk with you. And we pray if there's any here that's not really doing that, not giving their life over to you, they just want you to save them and not willing to give their life to you, I pray that that'll change this morning. Pray, God, that there'll be those come forward, kneel in an altar and say, God, you can have all of me. Do with me whatever you want to do. And I pray that this morning. I ask you, God, to do according to the will of God in every life here this day. And we will not forget to say thank you, Lord. Praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.